Thank you, Brother Ted and Dustin and Ms. Karen for leading us this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. So the last couple weeks, we have been in these first five verses of Romans, and we're coming to just verse 5 today. And this verse is has become, I've known this verse and have studied and heard sermons on this verse, preached on this verse, but I've never focused on it as much as I have this week. And when I got to it, I was like, we just got to do this one verse this week. There's so much in it. It's become so precious to me, and I hope the truth found in this verse becomes precious to you this morning. If it's not already, it's so very, very encouraging. What we see in these first five verses, if you'll look at it with me, is he starts off, and we say this each week, the last couple of weeks, but just hang with me. So if you've been here, you know this, so you can just like mouth with me. But if you haven't, or if you've forgotten, or if you're unsure, you'll be on the same page with all of us today. Look at verse 1. It says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus is this, that we were all sinners, dead in our transgressions, deserving of the wrath of God. Romans tells us that because of our sin, we deserve death. And not just physical death, but eternal death in hell for eternity, separated from God and all things that would bring us pleasure. And not only that, but hell is filled with things that would bring us pain. Because we're sinners. We've rebelled against our Creator. That's what God's Word teaches us. But it also teaches us that because of God's great mercy, His grace, and His love for us, that He sent His Son to save us, to make us right, make the guilty justified before Him, that we could have not enmity, not war with God, but peace with God. And for those of us who have placed faith, taken faith out of ourselves and anything else that we might think brings us salvation, and placed it alone in all that Jesus has done, His perfect life, His sacrificial death on the cross in our place, and His resurrection, those of us that have done that, we have been moved from sinners at war with God to children of God that have peace with God. We've been justified. And it says in this verse, therefore, since we have been justified, not by anything we've done, but by placing faith in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And so we enjoy the favor of God, the grace of God in His presence daily and nightly, all day, all night. We're in the presence of our Father. The Psalms say that He has owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. So He has all that we need, and He supplies us with everything that we need as His children. His grace, His favor. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So not only do we enjoy these blessings now, but we look forward to the blessings of the future. One day Jesus will return in all of His glory. For those that have placed faith in Him, He will clothe us with His glory. And He will renew creation with His glory. And we look forward to that hope of the glory of God if we've been justified with Him. And last week we saw in verse 3 and 4, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So this hope that we have in this wonderful and gracious God, in our wonderful and gracious God, His Son Jesus, this hope that we have isn't just simply for the future, but Scripture teaches us that He uses, in this broken and sinful world, He uses the things that would destroy us, all kinds of tribulation and trouble and suffering. He uses the very things that would destroy us to build us up and make us more like Him. Amen? And that's what we've seen so far in just chapter 5. And then we come to verse 5, and he continues to speak of the hope that we have in Christ. And he says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Bow your hearts with me and let's pray and ask the Lord to give us understanding and stoke our love for Him this morning. Father, we love You. God, we thank You for the entirety of Your Word, the way that You use it to sanctify us and make us more like You. We thank You for Your Word. But Lord, we thank You for just this small portion of verses that we've been looking at for the last few weeks in Romans 5. And we thank You for this verse this morning, Romans 5:5. And Lord, we pray that You would help our minds to understand it. We pray that You would help our hearts to grab a hold of it and be encouraged by it as Your children. We pray that as we're encouraged by Your Word, that You would increase our love for You and our faith in You. We pray that as we look at the truth of Your Word, and we know there may be some among us listening that don't believe, have yet to trust You, have yet to repent of their sins. And so, Lord, we pray that You would use our time in Your Word today to lead them to faith and repentance in Your Son Jesus today, that they might become one of Your children just as we already have. Not by anything they've done, but all that Christ has done and simply placing faith in Him. God, we ask for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen? All right. Just making sure. Y'all can keep praying if you want to. Romans 5:5. Let's read it one more time. We're going to pull two pieces of truth out of it this morning. Romans 5:5. And hope, this is the hope we have in Christ. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Our first piece of truth is this. God loves us and gives us hope that does not and will not let us down. God loves us and gives us hope that does not, right now, does not and will not in the future let us down. And of course, again, verse 1, we're talking about believers. So let me just pause. If you're among us today, or you're listening, or you're watching today, and you're not a Christian, let's just clearly say to you this morning, these verses don't apply to you. You don't have this hope in Christ, but we proclaim to you that we plead with you to place faith in Jesus today, that the hope that we have might also be your hope. So as you hear us talking about the benefits of being a Christian, know, one, the most wonderful benefit, the chief benefit, that all other benefits could be washed away, and if we still had this one benefit, it would be simply good enough, is having a relationship with Jesus Himself. And we invite you to that today. We want you to become part of the family that we've become a part of through faith in Christ today. And so know that as we sing at the end of the service today, the invitation is open to you. You can come forward and pray with you and for you, show you in the Word what it means to surrender your life to Christ. Or you can grab one of us after the service is over and you can say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to have the hope that you have that was talked about from Scripture this morning. And we will sit down there in the car or in the sanctuary, wherever we need to, at home, and show you in the Word what it means to give Jesus your life and have the hope that we have in Him today. Amen, church? All right. God loves us and gives us hope that does not and will not let us down. As we said last week, this word hope that we see in 4 and 5 and in 2 is not the kind of hope that we often use. Like, I hope my team will win. I hope it will or will not rain. I hope so-and-so gets elected. Like, there's no guarantee in any of those things happening, right? And so when the Bible uses this word hope in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, that's not the kind of hope that it's talking about. It's talking about a sure hope, an assured hope, a hope that stands on a firm foundation. You can think of it like this. We have 2 dogs, but our original dog, his name's Jack. He has a small tail, and it's almost like he stands in our front yard every day waiting for us to come back home, because that's what we see when we get about a quarter of a mile from our house. We can see our front yard, and we can see Jack standing there. And when he sees us, his whole body starts shaking because his tail's not long enough to wag. And before we make it to the house, it's like that energy of that hope that they're almost home. They're almost home. My family's almost home. Just, he can't hold it in. So he runs full sprint all the way around our house. The other dog has a tail, so he just stands there and wags it. But Jack, he's just bursting with hope. He knows. He sees us. We're coming. And so his hope is sure. They're almost here. I know it. No doubt about it. They're about to pull into the driveway. That's the kind of hope we have. We have this hope that is sure. Not I hope it rains or I hope it doesn't. I hope my team wins. Not that kind of hope. But hope like, we know our Lord. We hear him speak from his word. He's told us he's coming back to get us. He's told us these other blessings that will come to us that are in him once he comes home, once he comes back to get us. And we know it. He's coming. That is the kind of hope we have. So again, that's the kind of hope that verse 5 is speaking of. This hope does not put us to shame. Word shame there is the idea of dishonor, disgrace, humiliation, disappointment. The idea here is that we are waiting for Christ to come back. That we take our dying breaths, if we die before he comes back, with confidence that he will raise us up out of the grave. We have that hope. And the idea is, it would put us to shame if it never happened. We would be disappointed in our lives, in the way that we led them. We would experience humiliation if Jesus never came to get us. But the hope we have in Christ does not and will not let us down. It will not, does not put us to shame. It's the opposite of the word rejoice we also see in this passage. Rejoice is the idea of boasting, celebrating, exulting in something. We said the way that fans may gather before the game to tailgate and celebrate their favorite players and plays that might be run, touchdowns might be scored. Rejoicing in what they hope will be so. The way that Jack, our dog, runs a lap around the house. He's rejoicing in the fact that his hope is about to come true. They're home. To be put to shame is the opposite. Dishonored, disgraced, humiliated, disappointed. The hope we have in Christ will not put us to shame. Trace, come up here, buddy. I've asked Trace to help me with an illustration this morning. Stand over here. Stand right here. Face that way. All right, so have you guys heard of a trust fall? Right? Trace, put your arms out. All right, so we're not actually going to do this, but just pretend that we are. Trace, I'm standing behind you. I'm going to catch you. Now, if I didn't catch you, you would probably be at least a little bit disappointed, right? Your body would be anyway, because this is pretty hard. Might be a tad bit humiliated. But if your hope is that I'm going to catch you, it's also that I won't put you to shame. I won't let you be humiliated in front of all these people, right? I won't let you fall down. I won't disappoint you in that way. So when he fell, I would catch him under his arms. We won't do that. But in the case that we did, I would catch him. I wouldn't let him be put to shame in that way. So hang on to that, because we're going to come back to that in a minute. Trace, thanks, buddy. The question is, how do we know that our hope in Christ won't put us to shame? Won't just let us fall? I would say two ways. First, God is a faithful, promise-keeping God. So we think about history. Think about the promises that God has made and kept. If you're taking notes, you can write these down and go back and read them. Genesis 3. God promises that a descendant of the woman, Eve, will crush the head of the serpent, Satan. And indeed, he did. Jesus dies on the cross, raises up from the dead. Still waiting for the complete fulfillment of that promise, as we see reflected in the book of Revelation. Genesis 12. Abraham's family will reverse the curse of sin, and all families in the earth will be blessed because of Abraham's family. Pointing to Christ, the fact that anyone from any family can place faith in Jesus and the bonds of sin will be broken. Fast forward to 2 Samuel 7, David is told that he will have an heir that will sit upon his throne for all of eternity. Again, pointing to Jesus. Fast forward to Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament. We're told that there will be a servant of God that will brutally suffer for the sins of God's people, that they might be forgiven and shown mercy by God. All promises from God in his word, all fulfilled by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So when we go, how do I know, as a Christian, how do I know that God and the hope that I've placed in him will not put me to shame? It won't let me down. It won't let me fall. One of the reasons I know that is because I can look at history. I can look at his word and look at history and know that God has made promises and he's kept promises. You with me so far? Not only that, but God has made other promises that have not been fulfilled yet. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 21, 22. We have these promises in many, many other places about a future that is yet to be fulfilled for God's people by God. New bodies, no more suffering, no more pain, in the full presence of our Lord for all of eternity in a new heavens, new earth. Just awesome promises that have yet to be fulfilled. So we can say, history tells me that God keeps his promises. I listen to God's word now, and it tells me that there are promises for me as one of God's children that have yet to be fulfilled. Because he's a promise-keeping God, my hope in him won't put me to shame. It'd be like if I took Trace, and you can stay where you are for now, Trace, and I stood in there and I said, remember all those other times, Trace, that I told you to fall and I caught you? Remember, Trace, that time you went up in the balcony and I stood down here and I said, fall, and you fell and I caught you? Remember that? I promise I'm not going to let you hit the ground this time. And Trace could go, yeah, I remember those times. He's a good catcher. And I can believe him, so I'm going to fall now, and he's going to catch me. It's the same thing. As God's people, we can look at his faithfulness in history. We can look at his promises that our hope is in for the future, and we can say we can trust him. Our hope in him will not put us to shame. It won't let us down now or in the future. The amazing thing is that not only has God done things in the past and promised things in the future for us to be able to place our hope in him and know that our hope in him won't put us to shame, but he's doing things right now that daily remind us that our hope in him won't put us to shame. You guys still with me? So the second piece of truth is this. The Holy Spirit shows us and reminds us of the love and hope we have in God. Look at our verse one more time, 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, is telling God's people that the hope we have in Christ won't put us to shame, and he's telling us why. God's love has been poured out. By who? By God himself. He is pouring out his love. To who? To us who have placed faith in Christ. He's pouring out like he's got a bucket of his love and he's pouring it out into our hearts. Those are the words of this verse. Read it one more time. God's love has been poured out, poured into our hearts. How? And by whom? Through the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is working in us to fill us with the very love of God so that we know that our hope in him is sure. It's founded on a firm foundation. The Holy Spirit is doing that work in us, reminding us of God's love for us, reminding us of how sure our hope is in Christ. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Holy Spirit does this in two ways. One, when we become believers, he fills us. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Romans 8:9 teaches us that those who have placed faith in Christ are indwelt or have the Holy Spirit in them. Those who do not belong to Christ, who have not placed some faith in him, are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you're a Christian today, the Holy Spirit is, according to God's word, in you. He has filled you. That's one of the ways that God has shown us his love for us. Through his Holy Spirit, he has poured his love into our hearts by filling us with his Spirit. His Spirit, just as his Spirit made his home in the tabernacle among God's people in the Old Testament, the temple among God's people in the Old Testament, so now he has made his home me and you because he loves us. Plenty of other passages to see that. He has poured out his love into my heart, into your heart. Like pouring out a bucket, filling you with his Spirit. Christian, that's how much God loves you. He placed faith in his Son, and he made you his home. Not only that, the Spirit isn't just hanging out inside of us doing nothing. Like, I've done my job. I'm in this child of God, and so my job is done. He's not just hanging out. He's doing stuff for us. He's helping us. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So Christian, when you hit your knees in in the midst of a day or a week or a season that you just don't even know what to cry out to God. All you know is to do is cry. One of the things the Holy Spirit is doing, because he loves you, and this is a way that he's showing God's love for you, is he is interceding on your behalf. You may not know what to pray, but he does. Not only that, but John 14:16 says this. Jesus praying for us, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." So not only does the Holy Spirit pray for us, intercede for us, but he comes along beside us to actually help us in this life, to give us the strength, to give us the wisdom we need to follow through and live like Jesus has called us to live. He prays for us. He helps us, never leaving us. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Not only does he do these things, but he produces the character of God in us. Christian, if you're hopeful that one day you'll be more gentle, more kind, your hope cannot be in your strength and your willpower. It's got to be in the work of the Holy Spirit in you. That's who does it. So he prays for us, intercedes for us. He helps us. He's beside us, inside of us, leading us, guiding us. And he enables us to bear out the fruit of the character of God in our lives. Christian, not only has the Spirit of God made you his home, but he's chosen you to help you. Not just these ways, but these are kind of the chief ways that the Holy Spirit helps us as we follow Christ. And what this verse is telling us is that God is, through his Holy Spirit, has poured out his love into our hearts. And we say, how do we see that? Well, we see that in what the Holy Spirit has done and is doing for us. Every time, we can ask what this looks like, and we could simply answer it this way. Every time that we find joy in obeying our Lord, that's the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Every time that we see victory in our lives and we see that we are more kind, more gentle, more loving to the people in our lives, and that's fruit of the Holy Spirit working out the character of God in us, we need to recognize that as God showing us his love through his Holy Spirit. Every time we read our Bible and we open up the Word and we're in deep need of the truth of God and God speaks directly to our day in his Word, that is the Holy Spirit showing us the love of God for us, pouring it out. When you go to worship with your church family and you go there discouraged and you leave encouraged and emboldened for the gospel, that is the Holy Spirit's work in us to remind us of God's love for us. When you're distressed and fearful, but you are reminded that he is with you, that's him loving you. When you're at the end of your strength and resources and God provides exactly what you need and the amount that you need it at the time that you need it. That is the Holy Spirit pouring out God's love into your heart. When you're discouraged and downtrodden and you don't know how you're going to get through the rest of the season that you're in, and a Christian brother or sister comes along beside you and says exactly what you needed to hear, as the Holy Spirit pouring out God's love into your heart. Who can testify to those things in their life? Been poured out is what it says. It's a picture that when I think about being poured out, I think of like a bucket. You just like pour it out and in a moment it's gone. Amazing thing about this verse though is, I'm going to get nerdy with y'all for a second, but just hang tight with me because it's good enough. In the English language, we have past tense and present tense, future tense, something will happen, something is happening, something did happen. But in the Greek, the language that this verse was originally written in, there's also a tense called the perfect tense. We don't see it in our English language, but what it communicates is something happened in the past, but it's still taking effect today. So when this verse says, I'm going to read it one more time. God's love has been poured into our hearts. Yes, it happened in the past, but it's in the perfect tense. So what it happened in the past, and it's still like a waterfall pouring into our hearts today. Every time the Holy Spirit ministers to you, every time He ministers to you, He is pouring out God's love into your heart. It's as if, not to get super sappy with you, it's as if God is wrapping His arms around you and just going, child, I love you. He provides exactly what you need at the moment you need it. Child, I love you. You look back on your week and you see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're kinder, gentler with your children or grandchildren or spouse or whoever. It's a spiritual victory that the Holy Spirit's worked out in your life. And God is going, child, I love you. Pouring out His love like a waterfall into your heart, in my heart. And you say, look at the beginning of this verse. So it says that all of this that the Holy Spirit's doing has somehow teaches us about the hope we have in Him. We'll go back to the illustration with Trace doing the trust fall. Just pretend like Trace is standing right here. And I say, Trace, remember all those times I told you to fall and trust me and I caught you. Trace, remember all the promises I've made to you about the future, about me telling you to fall and you trusting me. You can trust that I will in the future because I did in the past. I'll catch you, so trust me. That's like the Christian looking at the cross and going, Jesus did that for me. Said He would. He did it. God is faithful to keep His promises. He's made more promises to me that if I place faith in Jesus, I'll be His child. He'll love me. I'll have His grace and peace with Him. And so I'm going to trust Him for the future and His promises. It's all head knowledge. And it's important for the Christian. We know these things that He's done in the past for us. We trust Christ and His work on our behalf. We know the promises that He's made for the future. And we trust, because what He's done in the past, that He'll keep His promises to us for the future. But if that's all we're left with, we're still all alone, falling until He catches us. But then we have this verse, the Holy Spirit, that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And it's if God's saying, fall, trust me, just fall into my arms, trust me. And then He sends His Holy Spirit to wrap His arms around us and just gently lay us down into the arms of God. So that every day, we don't just have history that says, our hope won't let us down, it won't put us to shame. We don't just have future promises that says our hope in Christ won't let us down, it won't put us to shame. But we have the very ministry of the Holy Spirit right now in our lives. Every time He ministers us, every time He encourages us, every time He comforts us, He is pouring out his love right now to us in our hearts because of what the Holy Spirit's doing right now. Christian, we know that our hope in Christ will not put us to shame. Amen? Now listen, like maybe you just need to stand and praise God for that. For his past working through his son on the and his death on the cross and his resurrection. Maybe you need to praise him today for the future promises that we've yet to see but we know are true in the hope we have in him. But maybe, Christian, you just need to pause and reflect on the work of the Holy Spirit in your life today. And go, man. God, when your Spirit's working in me, convicting me of my sin, encouraging me, comforting me, you're also telling me that you love me. Thank you, Jesus, for that. To get back to where we began, for those of you who may be with us this morning that have yet to place faith in Christ, this is the hope that we're inviting you into. Place faith in Jesus, all that he's done, his perfect life, his death for you, for your sins, and his resurrection, and have unshakable hope in him. Amen, Christian? Let's pray. Jesus, man, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. The perfect Son of God, we praise you. Before you even put on flesh, before you lived a perfect life and tempted in every way that we are, before you died a sinner's death in our place and rose from the dead, you deserved all glory and all praise. But you did all of that for us, showing us your love for us. Father, we thank you that we not only have the cross of your Son to resound with your love for us, but we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit to echo your love for us each and every day as we walk through this life, trusting that the hope that we have in you will not put us to shame. So Lord, increase our faith in you. Increase our joy in the hope that we have in your Son. Increase our witness in our community for about that hope. And Lord, we pray that others that we know, even others that may be joining us this morning, would place their faith in Jesus alone and have the same hope that we have in you. Amen.
Let us stand together.